This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
What did you put on here? The Tums bowl? Or wait, Tums is way too recognizable of a brand to have a bowl. What are we watching?
I went for the World Junior Hockey. Whatever the bowl game is, the teams didn't. Is Rice involved? I forget who's playing.
Rice.
It's
a school.
This doesn't sound that good as far as matchups go. And then the game that's at 4:30, the bowl game, Navy is involved.
All right.
And I don't know. Nothing against Ross Tucker. I know he loves the Army Navy game, but I just say, let's go to the World Juniors. There's an NHL game that's starting at 3. Vegas
wow.
is playing somebody.
Can't wait.
I don't know who. And that's on ESPN Plus, but we could find it. It is huge. They're all huge, Mike. They're all huge.
Latvia and
Sweden.
Oh.
Sweden got a late one to get a 2-1 lead going into the first intermission.
You're watching a lot of this?
I have watched a good amount of it. Yeah. Yeah. There was a U.S. Which game was so good? 6-5 was the final. Czechia.
Czechia.
That was a super fun, like everything the World Junior Hockey Tournament is supposed to be. There's like world-class talent, guys on both sides that are going to get drafted or already have been, and no defense. Just up and down the ice and just, you know, that's another 2-on-1. Like it's just one of those games. So I got a good fill. I feel like I watched a lot while I was down. There was stuff most every day.
I would have watched a game yesterday, but there weren't any.
Yeah, that was
New Year's Eve, and then today. But yesterday was dark.
Yeah, but yesterday was full of. What did I watch yesterday? There was NHL, I think, all day yesterday.
Oh wow,
is what there was mostly. And the bowl games were
big
good
ones.
Too. The bowl games were good. They were all part of the playoffs. Yesterday.
I watched. Yes.
So college football sort of dominated yesterday for
Oregon,
right?
And I had a parlay. You would have been proud of me. Once did a parlay.
Dipping your toes into the parlay world.
That had a Miami money line on it going into Saturday. Or going into, what day is it, Thursday? Friday.
I don't know.
So going into yesterday, but it died quickly with Texas Tech.
Oh, sure.
Had Indiana and then Georgia. So I'm glad Georgia lost because then it would have just been the one game.
Yeah, that's annoying when that happens.
I'd rather lose by 2.
Anyway, what's been going on here? Everybody good here? Things good? How's everyone?
I have one. So I think, okay, I have one prevailing thought about like this moment here because, of course, what is it about with the Bills? It's about whether they can actually win it. Can they make the run in the playoffs, run the table on the road, whatever it's going to take. But one day earlier this week, I thought about how, like, okay, well, the stadium is an obvious topic, and anytime you want, if you want to roll, this has always been true. Anytime you want to talk about memories of the stadium, there's a line out the door of people who want to do that. And it was nice a couple of times this week to engage in that a little bit. But I also had the thought a couple of days ago, like, I think this is the last time we'll ever do it. I mean, maybe what happened with the odd? You know, years go by, But it's not before or until years go by. And then, oh, remember the odd? Oh, yeah. You could smoke. Oranges, super steep. Bulldog got thrown out.
The cigarette butt things hanging from the ceiling.
Obstructed view.
Right.
The cushions on the seats, but not in all the seats. Like, there were conversations that would come up over time about the odd, but I don't know this from personal experience. I think years went by first. I think this year, 2026.
Well, the odd, what happened with the odd in part was that it stayed standing for so long after it closed, and then there was the whole taking it apart, and that was a whole other round of nostalgia about it, because it was open, and you could see it, and people were going down there to get whatever they could get, or if they knew a guy that could get whatever. There was that whole, just drummed up a whole other level of nostalgia about it, despite it having been closed for, what was it, 2 or 3 years before they knocked it down.
Or many more.
Many more, even. Yeah, I don't remember
timeline. I think maybe 10.
I didn't want to get too bold. Yeah, that's right. Oh, okay. It's still there when we're working in the atrium of the arena.
Yeah. Like, it closed in 96.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a while.
10
anyway,
to 15 years.
But that was why I think it may seem like you remember it in stages, because I think there were different phases of it.
Well, maybe. Sure. I think time goes by and your focus is on a new place. And, I mean, can or do you think of the arena at all as new and fancy or whatever else? Like, it's not easy for me to do that. I didn't go to very many games for the first 10 years of the arena. So, for me now, it's almost, like, post-dated. It's not, it's not nice anymore. But maybe there was that. I think what I'm about to say, though, when it comes to the stadium is, and maybe you're right, that the fact that it's coming down pretty quickly after the season is over will contribute to this. But next year, this year, will be a lot about, like, all right, what is this actually going to feel like be like to be in it? Is it going to be, are we going to be sort of blown away? Are we going to not like it? Like, some people don't like the fancy restaurants.
Are we going to think it's too nice?
Right. Like, it'll be about the new place for a while. And I think maybe, say, 5 years or more in the future, oh, wow, remember this or that?
Well,
remember, you know, the bathrooms or things?
That's interesting because, I mean, you know this, but, you know, I expect our audience to be taking notes. It had been more than 20 years since I had been to a game as a fan in the stadium, and that changed this past September. Owen and I went to the home Miami game. And, you know, sat in the lower bowl and just did the whole thing. We didn't have a big tailgate party. You and I were working until 7:15 or whatever. So we just pretty much got, you know, headsets off, and Owen and I walked into the stadium. And I wonder, like, it's never been I haven't been to enough events to have, like, a real nostalgia that isn't just glomming off of other people's, you know, times. I never had a tailgate spot. I never had a group. I never had any of it. Like, I went to random games some years more than others, mostly when I started working mornings for a couple of years there. I went to probably 10 home games in 2 years, which is the most I'd ever been. But even that was always different seats and different people. And just, it never became a thing, right? I don't have a crew. You know, I could cobble one together, I could glob onto one, but I never did. So I don't have, like, a long list of memories. And when I was in the stadium in September, the one thought I had standing on the concourse after running to get some pizza, you know, in between series, was how small the TVs were on the concourse, and are you kidding me? It's 2025. Like, why are these TVs are like the size of the TV I used to have in my kitchen, and you've got a, you know, concourse full of people, and, like, this is it? This is how I'm going to see the game if I want to try to eat out here, because I don't feel like climbing past all these people to get to my seat with my knees on my elbows eating my pizza. Man, this is not okay. Like, it should be better than this. And I don't know if people like that about the stadium, they're maybe going to be upset when they see the new place.
I don't think it's about liking those kinds of details. I think it's about the feeling. And Buffalo, I think, loves its sense of community and even smallness versus the rest of the NFL. We love not being New York or Boston. You know, we love how this is different. from the rest of the league. And I think next year will be different, but my only point is that this is the last call for stadium nostalgia, because next week, I mean, there'll be updates and maybe they'll even get another home game, but we'll be talking about the playoffs. And then even if they win it all, that'll all happen. And then it's on to the next place.
Right.
And I don't think, you know, in the summer over these last decades, anytime you wanted to, as a talk show host, you could just, hey, what do you remember most about the stadium? Like, what's your favorite time there? Any favorite game? Anything like that? It's just sort of like right there. It's when you check out at the grocery store, that's what's on the rack. You know, that's just sort of sitting right there anytime you want it. And I don't think we'll want to do that anymore.
Right. We've run out.
It's over.
We've run out of runway here.
I think it'll be over after Sunday, mostly. And then 5 years have to pass. And then we can talk about, oh, remember walking up to the upper deck and like different things? It'll all be far enough away. So that was what's going on here. That was an interesting, to me, revelation this week was, I think this is the last time we can ever use this topic, because, or for a long time. After Sunday, it'll be, well, of course, it'll be about the playoffs.
And then it'll be whatever happens in the playoffs. And if they go all the way, then it'll be about that. And
but like,
no looking back.
We're not sitting here in July on a slow day talking about your favorite memory. Are we at the stadium? Like, it's just, no, I want to know what the new place is going to be like.
I'm not sure I want to put my name on. We definitely won't do that, or I definitely won't do that at sometime next July.
I want to know what the new place is going to be like, and where you sit, and where what you see, and whether the TVs are big enough, and like what there is to eat and drink. I think that'll be where our minds go. But the stadium is also not the only thing on the table right now. I mean, it's, to me, not the most interesting thing about the situation right now. I'm not going to the game. I've been to dozens of games there and have lots of memories, but I'm just thinking about who they're going to play next week and how they play this game and who plays and who doesn't and what are the matchups going to be like, and can the Bills, who have not won a playoff game on the road in 33 years, win three in a row?
Yeah.
Like, that's what's going to have to happen. I think it's also, I would say this, I mean, eventually I'll be able to name names. Dan Leberfeld is one. Tyler Dunn is one. Probably Ross Tucker. Just like in different ways, asking them about the Bills' chances in the playoffs. Pretty much consensus, if not unanimously, the vibe is, oh, sure, they can do it. Who do you like more?
Right.
And that's how we walk into this. Unless there's something dramatic that happens Sunday, we're walking into this as like, well, you're kind of the favorite, but we made it harder for you. You're going to have to take,
yep.
You're going to have to go to Florida or Colorado or New England. Like, you're going to have to run this kind of gauntlet. And if you do that, even better for you. That, I think, is how this shapes up going, you know, through Sunday.
Yeah. Well, I do think the most interesting thing about the week, and again, outside of the stadium and its closing, and this being, you know, likely, at least the only game we know of right now. We know the Bills will be on the road in week one of the playoffs. We don't know beyond that how the pool will shake out or where they'll end up seated, but whatever. So put that over there. Yeah, how they handle the week, how everyone handles the week is what is most interesting. And for me, as much as I have wanted the fight, maybe they can get there. Maybe they can beat the Jets without even trying. I mean, that seems possible to me. Like, they could play their backups and still beat the Jets. But anybody, to me, like, numbers wise, that does not have to play competitive snaps in this game, absolutely should not. You know, Allen should take his, you know, get his, you know, ceremonial snap to keep his streak intact, and then he's done. You know, easier for me to say, certainly than the coach or the other players. I don't have a skin in the game in James Cook getting the rushing title. If they want to try to get him that, get some padding there, if they need it even, maybe they'll feel like they want to get a little more cushion than they have on Derrick Henry even, because he doesn't play till Sunday night, and that game matters for both teams. So all their best will be going right to the gun there, I would assume. So to me, no one plays How many backup offensive linemen can I dress? Like, is a question I'd be asking myself.
Do there I is a limit to that.
Do I have a full complement of backup guys, or has somebody got to kind of suck it up, or maybe a couple somebodies and take turns or whatever, just to try to get through this game? But I am not at all worried about it. If I beat the Jets anyways, great. If I get cooperation from the Chargers and or the Texans and Jaguars or whatever I need to happen up above me that lands me the five, also great. But I am not gunning for anything. I'm going on the road, and I'll take my chances wherever I got to go. I want the rest more than I want anything else for these guys right now.
I agree, and I think I'm expecting most of the NFL to agree because there are several teams in the same position where they might be able to move up, starting with the Los Angeles Chargers, who announced on Monday that Justin Herbert would not start this game. And I've been saying all week, like, I think there should be a ripple effect to that where, okay, well, you're Mike Vrabel and Denver is probably all set at home against the Chargers. So where does that leave me? Do I want to fend off Jacksonville? Do I care? Is it mostly the same, the two and the three? I mean, the Bills have been in that boat.
Mm-hmm.
And so New England pulls back. Jacksonville really can't because of Houston. Like, they have to win for their division unless Houston loses. So they're in a little bit of a different bucket. Philadelphia is one where the two versus the three, they don't sound like they care at all about that. I think the Rams could be this. Seattle and San Francisco have each other. Green Bay is all set as the seven, and you get the point. So I think this is the vibe, but we don't really know this yet. I mean, Sean McDermott didn't exactly lay it out that he's going to do what you said.
Right.
But I'd be shocked if he didn't.
Same here.
There only are so many backups you can use, though.
Right.
Like,
so I made the point about the line. Like, what, you know, what, how much can I do? Practice squad elevations, whatever it is. Like, can I find my way to, you know, enough guys? And, like, you know, other years they've managed to do it, but there's always like one guy that plays a little more than you'd like. And maybe, I don't know, do they draw straws on that, or do they, who's the healthiest, or I don't know how they go about deciding who's going to do that. Might just be position dependent. I don't know, but yeah, that's right. You don't have enough everywhere that, you know, nobody has to play that, you know, you really don't want to get compromised leading into the playoffs. So there will be some choices to be made. But I fully expect.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Them to lean pretty hard on rest.
What do you want, though? Do you want Jacksonville?
Jacksonville in order, what I would like least is Jacksonville. Then I think I would say Baltimore if they get in. And then New England and then Denver in that order. I think I would go.
You'd rather the Ravens than the Jags?
Yes. Yes.
I have been, well, not all season, but in the last couple of weeks, I've warmed up to Jacksonville as a serious team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what they wear. I think I just don't want
to. It's a better way to be.
I don't really want to care about that.
Yep.
How they dress, the clothes don't always make the man.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I moved to, all right, this is a serious team. They can kind of do everything pretty well. And now I'm back off that.
Oh.
Not because of their uniform.
Okay.
But just, you can look at it as, do they have obvious weaknesses? Okay. What are their strengths? Like, what is it that Jacksonville can do to beat me? And I think the worst case scenario for the Bills in Jacksonville is that they just sort of, they get it to the fourth quarter and it's close. I think that's the worst they'll do. That's almost all their games, the Bills. But I think that's the worst they would ever do in Jacksonville is a game like the Falcons game where, all right, wow, this is, uh-oh. But then you're still right there. And then I would probably trust the Bills. Like, I'd be looking to bet the Bills live if they're down seven or more at any point in this game. But what is that based on? That's not based on colors. That's based on that Jacksonville hasn't ever done it.
Right.
And the Bills are, you know, they have Allen. Like, there should be, I want to have some faith in that. I decided, but I've not, like, completely signed for this in blood, that the Patriots are a worse matchup for the Bills than the Jaguars because of Vrabel and even McDaniels. I think their coaching experience is, what is one of our biggest fears about the Bills is that when it comes down to it, it just happened on Sunday. We haven't talked about Philadelphia, but like when it comes down to it, something will be amiss, you know, whether it's on Sean McDermott or even if it's on Allen or just somebody. And I don't want to have that happen. I don't want to have the game come down to one play against New England.
Because you don't think they're going to crack. You don't think they're going to crack, and we might.
I think I think the Bills would blow it.
Yeah.
Like, if it came down to sort of one play on the road in Foxborough, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I'll take a quarter in Jacksonville. I don't want to come down to one play in Foxborough because, you know, there'll be a flag. There'll just be something. This is, you know, say what you want about this take. It's not my favorite. But, yeah. So, there's that. I think we've said this about Baltimore for a month. If they get in, they're going to do it looking scary. And I think that's still true. Like, if they beat Pittsburgh, I think they'll probably show you what you are afraid of about them.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson comes back. Henry pops. I feel like they'll probably lose.
Yeah.
If they do win, I think they'll probably impress you.
I think that's right. But they have to win first. And also, that I sort of share that mindset about them. But at the same time, if you think they won't be able to even get this done, why would I like them in the playoffs even more? You know, like I just feel like there's something is amiss there, and they may just talent their way in or scheme their way in or even coach their way in. I don't know. Because they're playing Pittsburgh on Sunday, and I don't think that's the heaviest lift ever. But there's a lot of history there, and those games are often very tight, low scoring. 18-16 is that your call usually
something
on
like
those
that.
Games. But I got over being scared of Baltimore, I think, in this whole thing. Just because I just don't know that I really want to trust it. Like, if it comes to like a push to a shove, tight game late in the playoffs, they're not going to crack. Jackson isn't going to crack. Like, that's all he's really done is crack. And now he's getting heat, you know, from the outside now in a way that just has not happened prior to this in his career. Really, there's been, you know, starting out, of course, that was a whole different thing. But, like, since he established himself as the MVP caliber player he is, it's mostly been a lot of like, he's sick again? But then this thing last week was like a hit piece, you know, like video games and sleeping through meetings and all this stuff. To me, that whole thing could crumble Baltimore. So I'm not that worried about them. Jacksonville, it was 2 weeks ago now that they are timelines are all screwed up. But the last time I was here was off of them playing in the 4 o'clock window
Denver.
Against Denver. And I was with Nate those 2 days, and on that Monday, I feel like we spent a good amount of time talking about how maybe everybody's eyes are open, because that was on locally here. Like, I don't know how much time Bills fans had spent sitting with the Jaguars, you know, but there's a 4 o'clock game, and maybe the fact that the playoff pool is shaking out the way it is, like, oh, let me check this team out. And they were an eyeful and a handful. I just feel like they do everything pretty well. I don't know what they're great at. But I feel like everything is – like the pass rush is pretty good. They're taking the ball away like crazy. So defense overall is somewhat intimidating. The quarterback has the arm. He can move. The running backs are good. The skill all over the field and the passing game. Like that to me is a scary-looking team.
I don't know. That sounds like playing Miami. Just like, well, we might have next week to discuss it. It's Football Friday on WGR. It's brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's Hometown Fuel. Game day ready since 1922. Sam Panayotovich next. It's time for us to take a break. We'll be back in a snap. It's brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
47 yards. And it is good! Right down the middle!
Why the need to shout?
Thank you.
Ole Miss. Bulldog, would you ever put money on a team with Ole in its name?
Well, you should have. I definitely have.
Ole?
Yeah, on them, I think. Probably in the past. Not yesterday, but other times.
With us now is nationally acclaimed sports betting analyst Sam Paniatovich, host of the Chicken Dinner podcast. You can also hear Sam here and there on 670 The Score in Chicago.
Is this a new read? Do I need to get something updated here? Nationally, what was that first line?
Nationally acclaimed.
Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure I get it right if I'm ever... Oh, okay. Well, I haven't seen the...
You think Sam wrote it?
I haven't seen the copy. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Would Sam write that about himself?
No, probably not.
Did I overstep, Sam? I'm sorry. Nationally acclaimed? Is that not right?
I would appreciate, like, good dude would be a good intro for me. You guys know me. I don't need much.
Maybe next week. Maybe you'll get lucky next week. I'll write a different one every week. How about that?
Good.
The last time I saw you was the last time I saw a Bulldog before today at his house. And apparently, Sam, did you know this? After we all left pretty close together, like a lot of us left the party at the same time, singing broke out.
Oh, really?
I know.
Never wanted to leave. I told Mrs. Bulldog the last thing I want to do is leave. But, you know, we had to leave. It was getting late, and we had to drive to Chicago.
Yeah.
My wife begged me to stay so she could leave without me. And I said no.
How heartwarming is that?
Please stay.
That's true love right there.
You're having so much fun.
That's what that is.
Like, what do you want me to do? Find a ride home in the morning? Like, how badly do you want to be apart from me that you are begging me to, like, three times? She's like, no, you really should stay. Like, no, I'm not staying. My car is here. I'm with you. Like, you're my, we're going home together.
I would tell you, she may have had a good read. Many people enjoyed your company at the party.
Sam.
No, you, Mike.
Oh,
I'm talking
wow.
to you. She might have had a read on that, not only were you having a good time, but that everyone was enjoying you being there.
I was on. I didn't stick my face into any dish of artichokes, but I was feeling pretty good. I had a good night.
I think I had a good night. You and Debbie got rave reviews from everyone too, so it all landed very well.
What a night.
I was very happy with how everything went.
I felt like I was the glue guy on a championship team. Yes. That's how I felt that night. And we told the story, Bulldog, last Friday. When Sal walked up, shook my hand, and then went right into the artichokes, I've never seen something like that in my life. Like, I don't eat artichokes to begin with, let alone artichokes at a party. He shook my hand and then went right, hands deep, into the artichoke, ate it, smiled, and then carried on with his life. And I could not comprehend what had just happened.
Yeah.
What a sign of respect. I'm just going to touch you and then go right into the food. I'm not worried about, there's nothing bad that could happen. This is what I'm doing. Okay. Well, I went 2-for-4 in the playoffs. I was on Miami money line, so look at me, but did not expect Texas Tech to get shut out if that's what happened, right? That's what happened. So what should we have known yesterday that maybe we didn't?
Just how bad Alabama is in the trenches. And I think the farther away we get from Nick Saban's retirement, it makes more and more sense, because he realized that the walls were kind of closing in there, and he waved that white flag after they lost to Michigan, and Alabama just is not the same team. And I think a lot of people, and we've talked about this for a couple weeks now, and I told the two of you guys I thought Oklahoma was a good bet against Bama, and, you know, they had a 17-0 lead at home and blew it. I was much more disappointed with Oklahoma than I was impressed with Alabama. And, I mean, Indiana beat the brakes off of them yesterday, guys. Yeah. And I don't know if you saw, I had to have a little victory lap last night because I was being called a Midwest mouth breather and a four-eyed nerd, you know, like, oh, like Indiana. Who's Indiana? And Indiana showed you who Indiana was last night. I mean, Alabama had another game where they couldn't run the ball. And the Hoosiers just blasted them. If you go back and watch that game, it's domination by the Hoosier O-line and D-line. Just rep after rep after rep. And they poured it on. And you know what's crazy? They're up almost 30 points. Kurt Cignetti, the head coach of Indiana, is still not satisfied. Like, that's the wildest part of that whole game. But the books were baiting you. They had the worm on the reel, and they wanted you to bet seven with Alabama, and it never was close yesterday.
I have taken Indiana a bunch of times this year with a pretty big number, Sam, and I got burned a time or two. They didn't cover every game where they had, like, you know, 28-point spread or whatever, but they covered a lot of them, and a lot of my thinking was they're Indiana. They know how they're thought of. And I think this coach is going to want to just keep going 120 miles an hour whenever he can, even if they're up by 30 in the fourth quarter. They're going to go because they know any little ding they get on them is going to be, you know, 10 times the size of the ding that it would be on a Michigan or an Ohio State because they're Indiana.
It was very funny all summer long. Fox wanted to do this content because Fox has the Big Ten and I write for Fox and do Bear Bets and all that. They were really trying to drill home the question all summer, who is this year's Indiana? And everybody had a different answer. Guess who nobody said? Indiana.
Indiana, right.
It's like, oh, well, Indiana's still really good. And, oh, by the way, in the transfer portal, they're going to add the Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback. It's just so unheard of. And I think there's really a lot to – you know, chew on there that Alabama was a 7-point dog to Indiana in a playoff game. And I if you would have told me that 2 years ago, I would have had you institutionalized. Right. Like, that, it wasn't even fathomable. I mean, forget winning the game, being a 7-point favorite and dominating. It's just, it's crazy. And you know, it was a down year for Penn State, obviously. It was a down year for Michigan. I had to laugh. I'm watching the Penn State Clemson game, and those were the 1 and 2 teams in the country this summer, right?
Right.
It's like, how far did they fall from grace? But it says a lot about the coaching staff, the development, and now, you know, there's more money at Indiana than there is at several power schools. Like, Mark Cuban's putting in a lot of money in the endowment and all the boosters. Like, Indiana is a national power, and I don't think anybody saw it coming outside of the state of Indiana.
You say often you're a numbers guy, and the fact that it was 7.5 was enough for me. Like, I don't have to think about this. They're dying for you to bet Alabama. Come on, look at the names. But, you know, that doesn't always work out. Mendoza, I believe, is the first, not that you'll care about this necessarily, probably shouldn't, the first Heisman winner I've ever seen play in person in college. Because my son and I randomly went to a Cal Pitt game last year at Heinz Field. We were in Pittsburgh for his lacrosse tournament, and Mendoza was the quarterback of the Cal Bears. And look at him now. So I saw Vic in person in college. He didn't win it. I saw Brady in person at the Dome. He didn't win it. But Mendoza, so yeah. I've got that. Lots of these guys in the pros. Sam, I talked to Joe Ostrowski on Wednesday about awards, and there are still some interest in NFL. There are still some interesting ones with only 1 week to go. How about the path that Offensive Rookie of the Year has taken us on this year? Do you think it's over? What have you sort of thought during the season about that award?
I just wish I would have, listened to your analysis of Tyler Shuck a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, nah, there's not enough games. And now you look at his price, and you just kick yourself sometimes. Often for me, it's the bets I don't make than the ones that I do. And I don't have a single bet on the offensive rookie. I've got offensive player, but offensive rookie has been like, what, 8 different favorites this year?
Maybe.
To win the offensive rookie? Yeah, I mean, that sounds right. I just threw it against the wall. It sounds right, though, if you go through the list. I mean, a lot of those guys were favored at some point this season. I don't know who's going to do it. I still don't know that the voters are going to get into the box and vote for Shuck, but we'll see. I think the storyline, though, in the awards market is the Saturday night game. with JSN against McCaffrey. And, you know, we had a couple of tweets at Joe and I, you know, Bet Sweats, Now Chicken Dinner listeners, if you've been listening all season, Joe told you to take JSN at 50-1, and I told you to take McCaffrey at 30-1, and they're the not co-favorites, but they're 1 and 2 on the list right now. I'm a little terrified of, like, a Puka Nacua 200-yard receiving game, but that's because I'm sick.
What about Bijan?
I mean, you think he can do it?
I think he could rush for 200 yards again and maybe win the rushing title that way, depending on Cook and if the Bills rest him or it just doesn't get there. And I think that would mean a lot to this.
He's got 2,000 all-purpose yards. I do know that because I saw it on the TV in the last game. That was the game they were playing the Rams, and I'm like, wow, that's a really good season. The problem is, here's what you run into when you're a guy like Bijan Robinson. Your team's not good enough. Okay. And I know that it's not a team award, but oftentimes it's a really good player on a playoff team. So I think the Falcons' lack of wins, which we talk about every year, oh, they have all the talent and they never win, never win enough at least. I don't think that the team is good enough. I really do think whoever has the better game on Saturday between Smith and Jigba and McCaffrey will win the offensive player.
Okay. MVP, maybe you get a game where May rests half the game or something. I don't know, maybe not. Could anything change there, or is it too late?
It's just Stafford had it right there for the taking, and they just kept stubbing their toe down the stretch. And look, it's not to take anything away from Drake May. I feel like he sort of just backed into it. It's like there were several guys that had a chance to potentially sneak in there, whether it was Stafford, whether it was Allen. You know, I hate to bring this up in Buffalo, but if Allen completes that 2-point conversion, maybe we're talking about Josh Allen for MVP, but we're not. It's just like Drake May's the last one standing because he just hasn't made that colossal mistake. But then you look at the Patriots schedule and it's just been cupcake after cupcake after cupcake. He's a really good young quarterback. I don't watch him. I don't turn the tape on and think MVP, but I guess that speaks more about the dominoes falling around, right? No Mahomes, no Burrow, no Lamar. None of those guys really did anything this year in terms of MVP flash. So it's going to be a Drake May award, but it doesn't really feel like that impressive of a season. I hate saying that out loud, but that's just the way I feel.
What do you make of Coach of the Year?
I think Shanahan should win it, personally. And I don't have a single dollar on Kyle Shanahan. I mean, if that team knocks off Darnold in a big game, which is very likely, right?
Could happen.
Darnold, no. This is what we call Sam Darnold pumpkin season, Bulldog.
Yes.
If the San Francisco 49ers have four defensive starters on the injured reserve for 6 or 7 weeks like they have, Bosa, Warner, Gross Matos, Williams, and Mac Jones is playing quarterback for a whole month, and they go to the one seed in the NFC, how does he not win the award? Yeah. If I had a vote, I would give it to Shanahan if they win on Saturday.
What do you like week 18? Is it one of the more like important games, or do you like to sort of, if you will, dumpster dive into the games where nothing is at stake?
I won't have a lot of bets. Here are the two that I made: Carolina +3 and San Francisco +2. Ironically, those are both on Saturday. So I do have both dogs, Carolina and San Francisco. And I will pass along a little thing that I heard when I lived in Vegas from a bookmaker named Chris Andrews. He said if they must win in week 18, they must not be that good. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. You're definitely paying a tax on two teams this week, Tampa Bay, and you're paying a tax on Baltimore. Like, I'm sorry, guys. I don't think Baltimore should be favored by 3.5 in Pittsburgh. Ironically enough, though, Mike, we did bet against Pittsburgh last week with Cleveland. I think this would be the time to bet Pittsburgh because everybody's going to bet the Ravens. Well, it's a must win. They got to win this game. When they got to win, it's often because they're not that good.
As someone who we know from these many weeks having gone by here has been really backing the Bills as a Super Bowl pick and a Super Bowl winner, do you have any preference about how hard they should go chasing the 5 or the 6 or just sort of let the chips fall where they may? What are you valuing here in this Week 18 game against the Jets? Rest or try to get the best seed you can?
Option C, health. Health would be nice. I guess that goes into the rest conversation.
Rest, that's what
I was listening to you guys. Yeah, I was listening to you guys earlier when you were opening up the show, and I agree. I would much rather you be healthy. you know, the way it shakes out, let's assume the Bills are going to beat the Jets, even if the starters only play a half. The key thing is that the Chargers are a 13-point dog in Denver. So if you play that out, the Texans probably win, the Bills probably win, and the Broncos probably win. So then Buffalo is what, the six?
Six.
And then you go to Jacksonville. That's a team that's just ripe with playoff success, Jacksonville, you know. Like I think Mike and I talked about it last week. It's like, who's the flavor of the week? Oh, now it's Jacksonville. Got it. Let's bank on another team that's never won big games in the playoffs. I don't care who they play. I've said that for months. I just get in. And now, that said, we're going to need 17 to make that throw in the playoffs, boys. That two-pointer. Right. We're going to need that throw to land in the playoffs. There's no next week in the playoffs, unfortunately, if you don't make that throw.
Right on, Sam. Thanks for your time today. We will preview whatever matchup the Bills have next Friday. Thank you.
All right. Happy New Year, boys. See ya.
Nationally acclaimed sports betting analyst, Sam Paniadovich with us, which is, you know, not wrong.
Chicken dinner.
Chicken dinner podcast. Sal at 4 today. The drive at 5, that's on us.
First day back. I'm so nervous.
I know. I mean,
what does that mean?
This is not easing you in.
What does drive at 5 mean? I don't even know.
This is not easing you in.
No sale for the drive at 5.
Well, maybe we'll play tape. I don't know. It's the holidays. Also, the line still to come today and NFL picks. It is a football Friday.
I've got a lot to get ready for. I do, you'll believe me, both of the picks that Sam just gave us for the NFL are on my list.
Who were they again?
The Niners and the Panthers tomorrow.
Okay.
I was on both of those.
I don't have mine done yet, but noted.
Right. I should not have told you that.
Noted. Ah, whatever. What if I take them? What are you going to do? You probably change them. It's getting late. Yeah. Sal at 4. That's pretty soon. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Happy New Year. Football Friday continues on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.